We're starting Hilchos Brachos, the Laws of Blessings. In the standard Rambams, this will be on page Nun Aleph on the base, side 2. Hilchos Brachos. Mitzvah Sasei Achas. There's one positive commandment. Yilabarachos Hashem Agadol V'Kodesh Achar Achila. And that is to bless the great and holy name of God after we eat. V'Bir Mitzvah Zuba Pakam Elu. The explanation of this mitzvah is in the following chapters. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Sasei Min HaTorah, it's a positive commandment of the Torah, Levarech Achar Achilas Mazon, to say a blessing after eating food. Shnamar, as it says, V'chalta V'savata V'rachtas Hashem Alekecha, you shall eat and be satisfied and bless Hashem your God, the Lord your God. V'nechai Min HaTorah Elam Kein Sova, he's not obligated to say this blessing by Torah law unless he's full. Shnamar, as it says, V'yachalta v'savata, you shall eat and be full, and then uveirachta, you shall bless. Medivrei Sofrim, by rabbinic law, achal afilu kazayis, even if he ate the size of an olive, mevarachachrov, he says a blessing afterwards. Halacha Beis. Medivrei Sofrim, levarachal kol ma'achal tchila, there's also a rabbinic law to say a blessing before eating every food. V'achakach yana mimenu, and then, after saying the blessing, he should enjoy the food. Even if he intends to eat or to drink only a minute amount, he should say the blessing and then have the benefit. Similarly, if he smells a fragrant smell, he should say the blessing first and then enjoy that smell. Whoever enjoys and benefits without saying a blessing, it is as if he has desecrated the holy. Chaim divrei sofrim, similarly by rabbinic law, levarach achar kol ma sheyochal v'kol ma sheyishta, to say a blessing after everything that he eats or drinks, whereas the berachas hamazon of Torah law is only after bread. V'hu sheyishta revias v'hu sheyochal gazayis, this is provided that he drinks a revias, that's one quarter of a log, 3.5 ounces, and that he eats the size of an olive. If you're just tasting something, it does not require a blessing, neither before nor after, unless you taste a revius. The way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam is that he's talking here when you are actually swallowing it, even though you're supposed to make a blessing for even the smallest amount. That's if you want to eat it. Here you're not really concerned in eating it, you're just really tasting it. That's how the Kesef Mishnah learns. Nevertheless, if you eat you actually drink here the amount of a quarter of a loaf, that's so significant that even though your intention is not outwardly to eat it, the fact that you've eaten so much does necessitate a blessing. Lacha Gimel. K'shem shemavachim ala anoya, kach mavachim kol mitzvah, mitzvah kach yasa osa. Just as we say a blessing over the pleasure of eating, so too we say a blessing over each mitzvah that we do, and then we do the mitzvah. They're also a third class of blessings, a category which the sages instituted as praise and acknowledgement, and as a request. In order to remember the Creator all of the time. Even though he's not having pleasure or doing a mitzvah. The Rambam says, we therefore find three varieties of blessings. The first is called brachos hanoya, blessings of pleasure, uberchos mitzvos, the blessings of performing mitzvos, ubrachos hoda, blessings of acknowledgement, shevach v'hodaya, uvakasha, that they are praise and acknowledgement and request, k'dei lizkar esaberi tamid, in order to always remember the Creator, uliyamimenu, and to be in awe of Him. Hey, the text of all of the blessings was instituted by Ezra and his court. It isn't proper to change them, to add to one of them, to subtract from one of them. Whoever changes the text that the sages instituted for the blessings is making a mistake. Any blessing that does not mention the name of God and His kingship is not considered a blessing, and unless it follows close to another blessing where in some cases you have blessings that do not mention the kingship of God, since they are connected anyway with another blessing that does. All blessings can be said in any language, provided he says it in the same topic that the sages instituted. Same ideas. If he did change the text somewhat, as long as he mentions the main things, the name of God, the kingship, and the specific matter of that blessing, even if he did all of this in a non-holy language and not in Hebrew, he does fulfill his obligation. Zion. All of the blessings, you have to hear with your ear what you say. If he did not hear it with his ear, he fulfills his obligation. Whether he expressed it with his lips but didn't hear it, or whether he just thought of it in his heart. Many authorities hold that you have to express it, and it's not enough just to think it. But the Rambam says that it is, although you should express it and even hear it. But if you did think it in your heart, according to the Rambam, you fulfilled your obligation. Ches. In any blessing, you should not interrupt between the blessing and between the thing that you're blessing on with other things. If he did interrupt it, he has to repeat the blessing a second time. If he interrupted with something of the subject that you're blessing about, related to it, and it's Achav Varshniya, then he does not have to bless a second time. Ketet, for example, let's say he said a blessing over bread, before eating, Amar, he said, Hebiyu Melech, Hebiyu Tavshel, bring the salt, bring the food, Tnu L'Ploni Lachol, give so-and-so food, Tnu Machol Behema, feed the animal, Ukiyotze Be'elu, and other such things related to the eating. In the Achav Varshniya, he does not have to bless a second time. The same would be true of anything similar to this. All of the blessings may be blessed by a person who is ritually unfit, ritually unclean, in other words. Whether it's a kind of ritual unfitness that he could purify himself that day, certain kinds, you immerse yourself in a pool of water, in a mikveh, and you are purified. Or even if it's a tumah that you cannot purify yourself. Certain forms of tumah take 7 days, or certain other conditions that have to be met. So even if it's a thing that he couldn't purify himself, even if he wanted to, he can still make a blessing. It's forbidden for a person to say a blessing if he's naked until he covers his genitals. But Madvam Amurim, when does that apply? Be'ish, by a man. If a woman is sitting on the ground, directly on the ground, then she may say the blessing. In other words, her nakedness is considered covered when she's sitting, and she could say the blessing. Halacha Yud. Kol brachas kulan af bi shabirach yotzi de chavasa mutal olavarach lacherim shlo yotzi de chavasa kedei lotziyam. Any blessing, even if he blessed and fulfilled his obligation already, he may bless on behalf of others who did not fulfill their obligation, to fulfill their obligation for them. Except for blessings of pleasure, that there is no mitzvah involved. You don't have to eat this piece of bread, let's say. Then, he doesn't say the blessing with them unless he is benefiting from it too. If he's going to eat the bread too, he can say the blessing on their behalf as well. However, a blessing of pleasure that has a mitzvah with it. Let's say eating matzah on Pesach, where you're eating the matzah, but you're also doing a mitzvah. The Kiddush Hayom, or making of the Kiddush, where you say a Bray Priya Gofen and you're drinking the wine, but you're also doing a mitzvah. Then he can say this blessing for others, and they eat and drink, even though he doesn't eat with them, since then it's considered part of the mitzvah. If you heard an entire blessing from beginning to the end, you had in mind that you should fulfill your obligation by hearing it, you do fulfill it, even though you did not answer Amen. Anyone who answers Amen after a blessing, it is considered as if he would have said the blessing, provided that the one who is saying it is also obligated in that blessing. If the one who is saying the blessing was obligated only by rabbinic law, and the one who answers was obligated by Torah law, he does not fulfill his obligation until he either answers or hears the blessing from a person who is obligated by Torah law, kamohu, on the same level as he is. Good base. If many people got together to eat bread or to drink wine, and one of them said the blessing on the wine or on the bread, and they all answered Amen, they can all eat and drink. If they didn't intend to sit down and eat together, people came to, from different places separately. Even though now they're eating from one loaf of bread, they're sharing. Each individual has to bless himself, since you can make the blessing on behalf of everyone only if they got together in the first place to eat together. When does this apply? By bread and wine, bavad only. And other foods and drinks. And in Sriach and Haseba, they do not require reclining. In other words, reclining in this sense means that they all got together in order to eat together. If one of them said a blessing and they answered Amen, they can all eat and drink and fulfill their obligation with that blessing. Even though they did not have the intention to sit down and eat together. The Rebbe argues, he says, this is a wonder to me. Why does the Rambam forsake the other opinion in the Gemara? That a quench of Yochanan comes out that for bread and wine it helps if you recline. But other things it doesn't even help if you eat all at the same time. And everyone has to bless the blessing for himself. That's a stricter interpretation that other foods, on the contrary, even if you eat them together, saying a blessing together does not help. As the Kesef Mishnah points out, there's no reason to look for strictness as the Raiva does. In rabbinic laws, we generally follow the more lenient opinion, which would be that you do not have to say the blessing each individual, and it does count the blessing that's said by one for other foods on behalf of everyone, the way the Rambam says. If you hear any Jew saying any of the blessings, even though he didn't hear the blessing from beginning to end, even if he's not obligated in that particular blessing, he's still obligated to answer Amen. Amen is an affirmation that this blessing is true. If the person saying the blessing was a idolater or a non-Jew, a non-believing Jew, a Samaritan, or a child who's just practicing to learn the blessings, or an adult, but he didn't say the blessing properly, in all of those cases, you don't answer Amen after them because they're not really the same as blessings. Actually, concerning a non-Jew, there are different opinions. Some say that if a non-Jew is blessing God, and he uses our text of blessings, that you can't answer Amen. In fact, there are some versions of the Rambam where the word, the Akum, or Goy, the non-Jew, is deleted. So there's some question as to whether you can answer Amen to that blessing or not. Alakha Yudalit. Kala ona Amen lo yana lo Amen chatufa. Whoever answers Amen shouldn't answer a grabbed Amen. That means he doesn't pronounce it properly. Rashi says that he doesn't pronounce the Aleph with the proper vowels, the kamats under the Aleph. V'lo Amen ketufa, nor an Amen that is cut off. Rashi explains that that's with the Nun missing. He cuts off the Nun at the end. V'lo Amen ketzara, not an Amen that's pronounced too shortly. V'lo Arucha, not one that's stretched out too long. V'lo Amen beinonis, a medium-sized Amen. He shouldn't lift up his voice higher than the person saying the blessing. The Rambam says that if you did not hear the blessing that you're obligated in, you should not answer Amin together with everyone else who's answering to that blessing. It's clear that the Rambam means here that you're not supposed to answer Amin to a blessing if you want to fulfill your obligation with that blessing. And you didn't hear it. Then the Amin doesn't help. But if you're not trying to fulfill your obligation with the Amin, with that blessing, then you should answer Amin even though you didn't hear the blessing. It's clear from the Rambam that it's only because you want to fulfill your obligation that the Amin doesn't help. Tezvav, Kolom of Baruch Baruch Hashem Etzriach, whoever says a blessing that isn't necessary, Harezen Osashem Shemayim L'Shav, he's using God's name in vain. Reyu Kanishba L'Shav, it's like swearing in vain. Vasal Anasach Rav Amin, you're not allowed to answer Amin after him. Tinokas Malam the Notes in Abraham Skitikunan, you can teach the children the blessings in the normal way. Vapishin Mavach Mavatola, B'Shas Limud, even though when they're studying, they are saying the blessings in vain because they're not really eating the food or doing the mitzvah or whatever. Harezen Utut's permitted because you have to teach them. However, they know the Nachman Amin. You do not answer Amin after them. But Nachman Amin lo yotzi dechavaso. If you did answer Amin, you do not fulfill your obligation. Tezayin, kol on Amin achar brachos of a reis meguna. If you answer Amin after your own blessings, this is wrong. Va'ona achar brachos yisof brachos achronos a reis meshubach. However, if you're answering Amin at the end of a series of blessings, and you answer Amin at the end of that series, that is praiseworthy. Kigon, for example, after the end of the third blessing, Bonei Yerushalayim, you do answer Amen. Or after the blessing of Kriya Shema in the evening, so according to the Rambam, you answer Amen, since that's the end of the series of blessings. And the same is true of any blessing that's at the end of a series of blessings. You answer Amin after your own blessing. The reason for this apparently is, according to the Kesef Mishnah, that when you answer Amin after a blessing, it's as if you're concluding it and finishing it. And then you say another blessing afterwards, so it looks very strange. Here you're finishing and then you're going on. Whereas when you are actually finishing a series of blessings, then you do answer Amin. Yudzayin, V'lami Amin Achaponu Yushalayim. Now, why do we answer Amin after Bonu Yerushalayim, the third blessing of the Birchas Hamazon? There is a fourth blessing afterwards, the blessing of Atov V'Hametiv. The reason is because that blessing was added in the days of the sages of the Mishnah. It's as if that's an additional bracha. But the end of the main blessing of the grace after meals is Bonu Yerushalayim. Why do we not answer Amin after the preliminary blessings that precede the Shema? Or other blessings that we say before something, like the blessings of reading the Megillah, the blessings of lighting the Hanukkah lamps. So the reason is, so you should not interrupt with the saying of Amen between the blessing and the mitzvah that you're doing. That's why you don't say an Amen after the blessings over those particular mitzvahs, because you don't want to interrupt the mitzvah with the word of Amen. Why don't you answer Amen after blessing on the food, on fruit, let's say, and so other such blessings. Because it's only a single blessing, and you don't answer Amen except after a last blessing of a series of blessings. After either one other blessing or brachas or several other blessings. You go on brachas hamelach or brachas kohen gadol. There's times with a special blessing said by the king and by the kohen gadol, where they do answer Amen. There it is to let them know that the blessings are ended, the series are ended. And therefore he answers Amen. The Rabbi says, I don't know what the Rambam is talking about when he says you shouldn't answer Amen after the blessing over food. We already said the reason that you don't say a blessing for the mitzvah is you shouldn't interrupt between the blessing and the mitzvah. So the same thing applies. If the Rambam is talking about the blessing that you say before eating food, the reason mentioned previously already applies, that you're not supposed to make a break between the
bracha and the act. In this case, the act is not a mitzvah, but it's the act of the eating of the food. Why should there be a difference between the blessing over fruit and the blessing of mitzvahs? If the Rambam is referring here not to the preceding bracha, but the bracha that follows the seven species, the seven kinds of food, Ganza Hevel, this is also wrong. Because indeed you should answer Amen after that blessing. You don't have to listen to the words of the Rambam. Of course, the Rambam's own view speaks for itself. He would disagree with the Raavad, and he holds, as he clearly indicates, that if it's only a single blessing, you do not say Amen afterwards. So the blessings after food are individual, single blessings, therefore it has no Amen afterwards. Yitzhas. Kala ochel davar aser, if a person eats a forbidden thing, bein bezadim, bein b'shkaga, whether on purpose or by mistake. Enim avarach olav, lo b'chilav, lo b'sof. He says no blessing before or afterwards. Of course, if it's by mistake, he won't know it, and he will say a blessing before. But the before would be going on someone who's purposely eating something forbidden. He should at least not say a blessing, because he's doing a sin by his eating. Ketar ha'so, ha'resh ochel tevel shol debreim. If he ate untithed produce, even if it's only by rabbinic law. Certain things have to be tithed only by rabbinic law. Or he eats the first tithe, it goes to the Levi, whose other tithes were not properly taken. Or the second tithe, or something holy that was not redeemed properly. In the Mavarach, he does not say a blessing. It goes without saying if he does a more serious violation, like eat non-kosher unslaughtered animals that weren't slaughtered properly, carcasses, or drinks non-kosher wine, that it certainly does not say a blessing. The Rabbit says, Tov azetaz gedola, but the Rabbit made a big mistake here. Shlomer shim avachim elashim mezamnim maleim. The sages said, not that you don't make a blessing over it, but that you do not have the invitation to say the grace after meals, the birchas hamazon together. Lomer shim, chshiv is kviyas, they're not considered important to merit like a set meal which has the zimun. Since they ate something forbidden, as if you would eat fruit, they're not considered a set meal to say the invitation for the grace together. Why shouldn't they say a blessing before and after? Since in fact they did it and they ate it, they should say a blessing. Obviously the Rambam holds that since a sin is involved in this, no blessing should be said. The Kesef Mishnah quotes a Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, which seems to support the view of the Rambam. If he ate demai, demai means grain that was purchased from a not very strictly observant person, where he may have tithed it or he may have not tithed it. So the law is that if a poor person who bought this grain can eat it, because we assume that the first person tithed it, a person who's not poor should re-tithe it just in case. So Avbishen Ovroi Elolanim, even though the demai is fit only for poor people. Omaisarishin Shanatha Trumaso, Avbishlo Nitl Mimeno Cheshvan Truma Gedola. Or if the first tithe, which goes to the Levi, that the Truma, that's the part that goes to the Kohen, was taken away, even though the preliminary Truma, that's the first tithing that's supposed to go to the Kohen, was not removed from it. Vushigdimu Bishvilin. Because the Levi who gets the tithe got the grain when it was still unprocessed. Really, you should give the truma to the Kohen first, but after the processing of the grain. That the Levi came first, he really shouldn't have. He should have waited till the truma was given. But since he took the grain before the processing, when the truma was still not obligatory, so it's not really such a sin to eat that maaser, even though the original truma was not taken, provided that the second truma, that's the tithing that the Levi has to give to the Kohen of his own tithe. Or the second tithe, or something holy, which you're not allowed to eat unless they're redeemed. They were redeemed, but you're supposed to add 20%, one-fifth. That was not added. So again, there's not such a sin involved in the eating. You can say the blessing before and after. There's something not totally right, but you can't say that it's really a sin to eat it. And the same would be true of a similar case.